This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Everybody, welcome back to the Own It Show, Coach Conversations, because we know that's where the best conversations happen. And I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And guys, today we've got, again, somebody that I've had in my network for, we were just talking about it, close to 10 years. And it's amazing what happens when you cross paths in different lives. And all of a sudden, those lives start to converge again. And you see what's happened over the course of a decade. And it's so unique to think about what you're doing as entrepreneurs and executives as on your own journeys. How do you take all the lessons you've learned, the desires you have, the dreams you have, and put them into actual practice to make them real, to make them reality, to make them your day-to-day? And our guest today has just done such a phenomenal job of that through his entire career of shifting, adjusting, listening to his intuitions and his passions of where he's wanted to go, and ultimately has started three different companies. He's still involved in many of them. He's trained everywhere from Major League Baseball stars to NFL stars to regular people to UFC champions. And so it's really been amazing as Dan has navigated this this road, but also being a new father, and he's getting over a new hurdle and a new hump. And so wanted to bring him on today to really kind of just tell his story and really get us a solid understanding as to what fuels him, and to be able to take away how health optimizes his journey and utilizes it day to day to, again, realize his dreams and everything that he's been able to put together. So Dan, again, thank you so much for spending the time with us today and leaning in.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm real happy to be here. I'm excited to have this conversation. These conversations help a lot of people because I've always found that things like biographies and stuff are almost more insightful than business books a lot of the time, because you actually just get to read someone's journey or hear someone's journey, saw how they adapted to something, hear their story, hear their motivators. Lots of times that's as helpful, if not more helpful, than just the direct analytical actionable stuff. So I think this is a really cool concept and I'm pumped to talk about it.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, because here on our Own It Show podcast, that's essentially why we exist, is to be able to have people not only tell their story, but also what they learned from it and how they've been able to level up into an ownership mindset as a result. So we're happy to have you here today.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, a couple of my favorite books were like Steve Jobs' biography, Elon Musk's biography, The Shoe Dog. But then the Nike owner, his name is for leaving me right now, but those are some of my favorite ones. So that's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
But and it's so amazing to just simply lean in, because you're right. You get an insight into their life, into their journey, not just the result that they had. And on the podcast we talked about yesterday, Sports Science and Recovery Podcast, shameless plug, as we continue to discuss that, you talk all about results, and you talk all about wanting to see data and wanting to see information, and the analytical side is all great, but how do we relate to the true center, the true core of what's happening to help get us to that point? And I'd love for you kind of to give us your story and kind of chronologically go backwards to your upbringing and what drove you to really have a deep desire for A, the work you're doing now, but also B, the person that drove you to be that work.
Sure. So, I mean, going back to way back in, like, from an upbringing perspective, nobody really pegged me to do anything, to be honest. I wasn't on anybody's radar for anything. I didn't, simply because I didn't know what I wanted from life, and I was kind of a little bit of a rebel at the same time. So I got bad grades in school. Not afraid to say any of that. I skated by in elementary school and also in high school. And then after high school, I still didn't know what I wanted at all. Even though I was like really passionate about health and fitness, I think I just lacked confidence to be able to go into it. So then I just got an easy trade job right out of high school. I went in and I worked at a machine shop for about 3.5 years and was still kind of just doing my job, but not trying to excel. Like I absolutely was that guy. And I can talk about them now because I'm not that guy anymore. And one of the best blessings in disguise that ever happened in my life, and I say blessing in disguise because at the time I thought it was terrible, they laid off about 50% of the employees in one day. And this was a factory of about 600 employees. So a lot of people all lost their job that day. They brought us, it was an aircraft hangar. So all of us went to this one meeting and they basically like, go back to your departments. And then we're going to tell you who's staying and who's not. And it was crazy. So then I got in my car. I was really upset and I went home. But then like with that kind of emotion, I was like, okay, now this is a chance to actually do something that I want to do with my life. That was my weekly paycheck that I felt kind of trapped in because it was paying my bills okay. I was getting by, that kind of thing. And when I got laid off, now my whole world got shocked. But in that time frame, I realized how passionate I was about fitness while I was at the machine shop, because while I was there, I was reading research and reading articles. When I was at home, I was reading research articles or training. And then eventually I was actually doing all the training and the nutrition for the guys in the machine shop. So like I was already being the coach in the machine shop, not legally, of course, because but you don't exactly go to the guy who's working over on a machine for all your nutrition advice. But they just grew to trust me because I had integrity. I spoke from the science. They saw what I was eating for lunch. They saw the shape I was in. It kind of grew from there. So then once that happened, I saw my blessing in disguise. I went back to school. And went back to school to college. I earned my education there. And then I got out and I was a base level personal trainer. And then even at that point, I've got all this passion. I've got all this energy. I did my entire college process. And on top of that, I think I got about 5 certifications during the full-time curriculum, just because I could not get enough. I felt like I was behind. I wanted to be a sponge. I wanted to be the best. That's what I wanted to do. And then I get into Gold's Gym was the first job that I got. And I took no break after college. I still haven't taken a break, but I took no break after college and got right into Gold's Gym. I was a base level personal trainer. And one of the most brilliant things I ever did wasn't brilliant at all. It was just having delayed gratification. Because when I started in this industry, I kind of looked around and there's 3 basic prototypes that get respect and people's attention right away. If you have an amazing body, people kind of listen to you regardless of your credentials. If you are an amazing athlete, people will listen to you regardless of your credentials. Or if you've got the PhD or master's or something like that, then people are absolutely going to listen to you because of those credentials. I had none of these things. I had no great body. I certainly wasn't a pro athlete and I'm not a PhD. I was a base level personal trainer. So I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this thing with integrity, if I'm going to do it the right way, and if I'm going to work with the professional athletes that I want to work with, then I have got to put in a ton of work for a long period of time. So I ended up just working my way up the ladder at that personal training gym, creating content nonstop with articles, videos, podcasts, anything I could do to create a signal in the noise. And then as that continued to unfold, many other things continued to unfold as well that I'd be happy to get into. But that's basically kind of from the roots to what began my career and how I kind of still have, because I know what it's like to not do what you love for a living. I felt that for years and I hated it and I'll never go back. So that's just kind of what's led to me to where I'm at now, that kind of energy.
So you talk a lot about this person you used to be, and you even said, I can talk about him because I'm not that person anymore. What I'm really curious to understand is what switched in your mindset? It's clear that hard work was a big part of what got you to where you are today. But what was it that outside of the external experience that you had, right, going from losing your job to not having any of those 3 things that you said to working really, really hard, but from an inner perspective, right, like your motivational, your mindset, what was it that really got you through and created that shift in you?
I would say two things that are coming to mind right now. It's probably many, right? There's a lot of little things that happen. I really believe that things are put in front of us for a reason, and it's our job to use those tools appropriately. So it's probably many things, but two things come to mind right now, one negative, one positive. One negative being that the other guys in the machine shop weren't happy, and they were like 20 years, 30 years older than me. And I was kind of like, dude, is that going to be me? Like, that these guys, and I'm not kidding, like they would come to work and talk bad about their wife, or come to work and talk and hate how much they get paid per hour, but then do nothing about it except complain. A lot of the, they just, that I just kind of looked at that and I was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want that to be me. They're trapped right now. They're trapped. They've been in that cycle for decades. And they're trapped, and I don't want to be trapped. So that's kind of like, it's a negative motivator. It's a facilitator of change to see something. And it's a very almost arrogant way to think. But I think that those people are put in our life to teach us the consequences of not following your correct path. Because if you don't follow your correct path, then that's a representation of where you're headed. So it's a bit of an egotistical way to think that those people are there to teach me a lesson, but that's just how I saw it. I knew I didn't want to go down that path at all. And that triggered me to create change in my life. And that was a big motivator. And the positive motivator was actually something one of my friends did. So one of my friends, and this is a guy I've known since we were like four, maybe, where we played hockey together. We went to school together. I've known him from before school, for hockey, and then elementary school, and then high school, the whole way through. This guy, actually, he had already built up two companies and sold them, and he had a seven-figure exit on the one company that he sold, and we were in our early 20s. So I was looking at him and I was inspired. He was a huge catalyst for me, because he was a guy I knew. He had went to the same schools I did. He lived in the same neighborhood I did. We played on the same hockey team. We did everything the same, but he's doing something. And I know I've got something in me, and I'm not doing something with it. I'm not living up to it. So I went home and I started working. Like, when that happened, some people will look at that and they'll be jealous of like, oh, he had the seven-figure exit. That guy, he was able to do that. I looked at it and I got positively inspired by it, because I was like, oh man, like that is amazing, dude. You killed it. You did it. And he's already doing more amazing things. So my negative motivator was seeing what I don't want to be. And my positive motivator was seeing what I wanted to be. And it was somebody I knew. In both situations, I had a good relationship with both crowds. I knew them both. And I just knew what direction I wanted to go.
It's unique what you say there, Dan, because I've got it written down here. It was almost like when you walked into that factory, it was almost like it was your crystal ball. It was seeing what you were going to become if you stayed there and literally stayed on that path. And there, I don't know who quoted it or who said it, but it's like hell. The definition of hell is meeting the person that you could have become when you die. And that was a real quick switch for you. And I feel like so often it's so difficult for people, and you see it around us all the time, where other people succeed, and the first reaction is to be jealous. The first reaction is to be like, oh, they got lucky. The first reaction is to talk down about it, rather than being happy for somebody, rather than being motivated by it. And I'm curious as to, if reflecting on it now, maybe for the first time, have you ever brought awareness as to why it created positive inspiration for you seeing your friend do that and ultimately drive you to make success rather than going down that jealous route?
I'd like to say it's because I've got this no ego, amazing way about me, but if truth be told, I'd have to say it's my parents. My parents are awesome people, and there was no hate in my household. If somebody was doing great, then they were like, wow, look at that guy. Like, wow, he must work hard for that. Wow, like he's a super successful guy or girl. Like that was always how my parents reacted. There was no hate in my household. There was no like, that rich jerk, he thinks he's all that, he thinks he's this. There was none of that in my house. So I think just by osmosis, I also took positive inspiration as a byproduct of being my parents' son.
That's a really powerful characteristic to be able to take from your parents, because there's this idea that we talk about a lot at Own It is conscious versus fear-based values. And a fear-based value is oftentimes, most of the time, one of those values that's ingrained in you from a very young age. It could be the chasing of a title or of a certain job or the amount of money you want to make or the type of lifestyle you want. Oftentimes they're very externally based things. You know, you hear stories of, and we actually have somebody on our team who her parents told her, no, you're going to grow up and be a doctor. And then she goes after that path, and it's a downhill battle from there because she's just not living in her purpose and her passion. But it was one of those fear-based values that she adopted from her parents. Now, conscious-based values, oftentimes those values that we adopt from those lessons that life ends up teaching us. But it sounds like you had a lot of really good conscious-based values instilled in you from your parents that was essentially a gift to you.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger who said, nobody's ever self-made. Right. I believe that. There's so many people that whether that person was a lesson for you or by their actions or they taught you something. I don't think anybody's self-made at all, despite how many people claim it. It's our job to see those cues, whether fear-based or conscious. It's our job to kind of collect those and use them for what we're supposed to do in our life. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, it sure is.
I want to go back to something you talked about earlier, and I guarantee you, nobody's going to be like, why did you want to go back to that topic? Because it was just in today's day and age, it's so commonplace. And you said what really started to bring you out was doing articles, video content constantly. Before I ask my next question, what year was that you were leaning into doing those?
2011. Was actually when I first began leaning into that. And then in 2012, I was doing it enough to where the managers at Gold's Gym were kind of getting upset at the at the business I was getting outside of their commission structure. And then in 2014 is when I finally left the in-person training altogether and went full online.
So the reason I bring that up is because today's day and age, you talk about, I do videos and content and articles and all this stuff. It's commonplace. It's so easy. There's zero friction to be able to start that.
Yeah.
You can literally set it up in a matter of seconds. And so back then, 2011, 2012, it makes me sound like an old man. I've got a cane. Back then.
Yeah.
It was probably something like a flip cam, or it was something that you had like, you'd have to set it up on a tripod and then hit play and then walk away and then upload it to a computer with a flip drive and like all this stuff. It was, you literally were doing something different that was not mainstream in that space.
For sure. So you actually even went too techie for me, and I'm not joking. Do you want to know what was my tripod?
Yes.
I would balance the camera on a sweet potato. Yeah, I've got a picture of it, and I created an entire course with this that was very successful. I've got a picture of my setup because I knew it was going to be a special memory one day. I had an apartment that was so small. There was nothing on the walls. It looked like an insane asylum. It was what I could afford at the time. And I had a sweet potato holding up my camera and a bar stool holding up a whiteboard, and then on the whiteboard. And then I just cropped it so no one could see the sweet potato. No one could see the bar stool. No one could see, nothing was on the walls. I cropped it. So then I would draw things on the board, and people were just listening to me and getting my knowledge from that. And that's all I needed. Mm-hmm. I had a cheap camera, a marker, and a whiteboard. And that's how I created tons and tons and tons of content.
where did this level of resourcefulness come through your whole process?
You kind of just have to be resourceful, especially in the beginning. Nobody really gets into personal training because there's so much money in it. Like, you know, like the personal training's hard, and it's hard for a while before you, and if you gain traction, you know, like you got to be good to gain traction. Then even when you do gain traction, it's still going to take a while to become a wealthy and successful person. But that resourcefulness, you just kind of have to have it if you're a personal trainer. And I don't think you were cut out for entrepreneurship or personal training if you quit soon. I firmly believe that. I think it's crazy when someone says to me this whole health and fitness thing is my life, man. And I just can't get it to work. And then you check out their stuff and they've been writing blogs for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. Or they've been doing videos for 3 months, or that stuff drives me nuts. I'm struggling to even trying to find the word right now without cursing all over this podcast, because when I did this for over 10 years. I posted a picture just the other day of me in 2012 in my little tiny tank top and neck sports watch with a super pixelated screen of me doing something. And that was 10 years ago now. And it's been hundreds of articles, hundreds of podcasts, hundreds of videos, hundreds of thousands of posts, many DMs. I used to stand in front of the door at Gold's Gym and I would be the annoying guy, like, hey, take this. Like, I'd be the person trying to talk to anybody about whatever I could do to gain some traction. And you got to do that because you never know who's watching. Like, that's how I got in the world of pro athletes. Was there is a super successful strength and conditioning coach in Southern California. And I'm just this dude in his little apartment in Canada. And this guy in Southern California, his name's Scott Prohaska, is one of the most brilliant guys in the industry, but he doesn't have a major social media presence. So like a lot of people don't know his name, probably the most underrated coach in the entire industry. He's coached so many champions in so many different organizations. And it was like one of the most memorable days in my life. Because he was reading an article I wrote for hockeytraining.com. And then he emailed me and he was basically like, hey, man, I love your work. I've got 10 NFL guys and 10 NHL guys this offseason. Would you fly down to California to help me out? And I was like, what? I'm like backing away from the screen, like, holy crap. Like, this is it. This is my shot. This is it. But I'm prepared for it. So I'm not nervous. This is what I've been working for. And I said, yes, instantly. And I flew to California. I spent many weeks there running the guys through the off season. And that was kind of like my tipping point, because then I had the pictures with all the pros. I had all those pros as my clients, but then I also like, that's when I kind of got access to Scott Prohaska's network too. But it was, I mean, that was after so many articles and posts and videos and podcasts. It's many of them with no views, no likes, no comments, no shares, but you can't let that kill your confidence. You can't let that bring you down. There was so long. And it's actually kind of comical. There are so long, because I started on Facebook, where I would do like posts on testosterone, because like I wanted to help guys get testosterone and build muscle and strength. And then I'd get 2 likes, my wife and my mom. Even though it was a post on testosterone, this like my girls are backing me up. And I could have gone one of two ways. I could have said, okay, you know, one day I'm going to get some traction. Or the other way, I could have said, oh, nobody likes my content. This is too hard. I'm going to go back to the machine shop. And it's just, that was not an option for me. So resourcefulness was, to answer your question more accurately, resourcefulness was a necessity. It wasn't like a skill. It was a skill I had to develop because I was never going back to where I came from.
I love that so much, because as we put ourselves out there, it's oftentimes something that it goes back to what Elise talked about in fear base, is we put content out or we put ourselves out there and it's like, oh, is someone going to like me? Is it going to get the attention that it should get? Should I feel like I'm wasting my time? Is nobody going to like it? And guess what? And I want every audience member to hear this and soak this up. every person who's ever put content out, every person who's ever started a podcast or made a video or wrote an article, every single person that's done it has had zero. And what I mean by zero is zero likes, zero shares, zero comments, zero anything. I tell this story often. It was my first book that I had written. I was trying to build it up and do a do a big book opening, and like I got the Lululemon headquarters at in New York City, and invited a whole bunch of people. I had 37 people RSVP. I had food there. I had all these things. I brought a guest speaker in, Dr. Pat Davidson. Had all of these people like ready and coming. I had a camera crew. I got up there and it brings tears to my eyes. Not a single person showed up. Zero.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Zero. And yeah. And today that book's like, this is now 6 years later. It was an Amazon bestseller for a certain period of time. Two businesses have been created off that book. I speak on it often. It's like, same thing. You could have gone either way. And so you are going to have those moments where nobody looks at anything, nobody cares. And you do it because it's so deep rooted inside of you that you have that passion that you spoke about, where I'm not going back to the machine shop. I am so passionate about what I'm doing that I want to go and grow, and people will attach to that passion that you have.
100%, man. And the analogy that I like to use, like when I'm mentoring a coach who wants to be in a position that I'm in, is you got to be like a bird in a tree. Because if a bird is singing a song, a bird's going to sing a song every single morning in that tree, no matter what. So an old man could walk by that bird and be like, shut up, bird, you're too loud. I'm a grumpy old man. But then another person could walk by that bird and think it's such a beautiful song. But you know what? The bird doesn't react to the person who thinks it's beautiful. The bird also doesn't react to the person who hates them. The bird is going to sing their song every single day, no matter what. You have to detach yourself from the positive and the negative if you want to go anywhere in social media, because if you get too deep in the positive or too deep in the negative, both of those things will bury you. All you have to do is sing your unique song every single day, and you will eventually gain traction.
You're absolutely right. And just to add to that, at the same time, it's all about your perspective. For those two different people, it was the same exact context, but one had a very positive reaction, another one had a very negative reaction. Same exact situation, right? It's all about how we perceive things and how we decide to, how we choose to show up as a result.
100%.
So Dan, you know, one of the things that's so clear is you absolutely live in what we call an ownership mindset. And this is one of our favorite questions that our listeners love to hear is, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
To define ownership would be about doing what you want to do. And I'm sure a lot of people say that, but a lot of people kind of sell their soul in a way. And selling your soul doesn't mean you did anything bad. Selling your soul just means your soul told you to go this way, but then you still went that way. That's something that happens a lot in this industry, because you can get a sponsorship deal. You can get an endorsement deal. You could be tempted by using like really clickbaity things that you don't agree with because it's going to have short-term payoff. You could be tempted to do things that you don't want to do. And I really just think following the way in which you want to go is ownership. And the way you want to go, a lot of that is going to have to revolve around entrepreneurship. Because I think that ownership and entrepreneurship are kind of one and the same, because I'm basically an entrepreneur because I'm unemployable. Like the reason I'm an entrepreneur is probably because I'm unemployable. Because if somebody says I have to be there from 9 to 5, it doesn't make logical sense to me, because those aren't my deep work sessions. That doesn't take into consideration quality versus quantity of work. It doesn't work with my schedule at all. It doesn't work with the things that are going to make me happy and productive outside of work so that I can be more productive and happy inside of work. It doesn't take into consideration any of that stuff. So I think if you were to define ownership, a whole lot of it revolves around doing exactly what your soul tells you to do, not allowing other things to impact that along your journey and having that delayed gratification to do so. And then ultimately, if it means you got to do something on your own, building your own schedule, doing things exactly the way you want to do it, I think that you got to do it, because at the end of life, we're not going to regret what we did. We're going to regret what we didn't do. And we can only do what we want to do if we own it.
I love that.
So well said.
Really love that. Dan, I just love every conversation we have, whether it's deeper, more philosophical in nature, or deep diving on the data and science component of it, because I think we see life from a lot of the same lens. And I know you're so relatable, you're so down to earth, you're just approachable. And I want to thank you and honor you for that, because sometimes it's not that way when you start to get to those levels of success and start to actually realize those dreams that you've put into place. So again, I want to honor you for that, and again, congratulate you on your success.
Thanks, man. That's awesome. This is a real fun chat, and you guys are freaking awesome too. So don't be throwing that all my way. You guys are freaking killing it. So I'm very happy to be here.
It's awesome. Where can people find you? Where can people lean in on more of the stuff that you're putting out day to day? If you want to hear more about what Dan does specifically, definitely go over to the Sports Science and Recovery podcast, where we dove deep into that side of things as well, from a lot of what we talk about at Own It, from personalized health, wellness, and optimization. But again, Dan, where can people find you?
At Dan Garner Nutrition is definitely the best place to find me. At Dan Garner Nutrition on Instagram. That's kind of my main hub these days. And then from there, you'll be able to find all my other stuff.
I love it. Straight, simple, to the point. Send them one place. Otherwise they get confused.
Yeah. I don't need to do anything, any of that sort, any over promoting. If they vibed what I said on this podcast, they'll go there and we'll connect.
I love it. So guys, as you listen, as you go forward, everybody has their own starting point, and sometimes it's going to fail. Sometimes it's going to flop, but having the confidence to lean in and go, you know what, I'm going to truly own myself and my story and what I'm leaning into will allow you to actually realize what your future holds. And by understanding that it's not always linear, that there's going to be ups and downs, that there's going to be twists and turns, and to be willing to stick to your song, be unique in your song, and be willing to lean into it, because you never know who's watching. And because you don't know who's watching, you never know what opportunity and what door is going to be opened when you stick and stay true to that. Because the work you do inside and the work you do outside of yourself is synergistic. And by nature, ownership is entrepreneurship. Ownership is truly doing what you want to do and not selling your soul short of what you are truly built for. We know that success is different, so own your different, and we'll see you next week.